There's nothing else you can do. I don't know where you're going, and I don't know why. But listen to your heart before you tell him goodbye.
Today we're going to continue in our series, Tune In, How to Hear God's Voice. Tune in. This will be the third week of this series. We started 3 weeks ago. We talked about how I'm a sheep and how the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. Last week we talked about how I'm a friend of God and how God longs to talk to us as friends. So it's a personal relationship that he is longing for, not just in time of trouble, but every day in our life. He is wanting to commune with us. He's wanting to direct us and talk to us. And we talked last week as a friend of God how many times that it was by faith that Noah and Moses, Scripture said, they stepped out. And I tell you, when you step out in faith, that means you're not really sure, but you think. You know what I'm talking about? I believe God spoke to Moses, and I believe God spoke to Noah, but it was by faith they stepped out. Sometimes we think it's the audible. We think of God, as soon as you write it on the wall, you know, as soon as I go to take a shower and the soap scum is written out what I need to do, then I know that God, you told me what to do. And it's not often the most time that God speaks to us. He's speaking to our spirit. He's speaking to our heart, giving us direction, confirming what's being spoken through God's word already into our heart. And many times that's how he speaks to us. Matter of fact, it was last week after the tornado struck that I was talking to Sean Fanning. Where are you at today, Sean? Are you still in here? Yeah. Sean, what's you standing for? Just stand up real fast so you guys look at Sean here. Sean, I'll just tell you, when Sean speaks to me, I listen because he don't talk a lot, okay? Sean's a very shy guy. I don't know, I'll make you up here, Sean. Thank you. But he told me, he's a pastor. He goes, you preached that message on learning to hear God speak. And he goes, we were in Walmart when the tornado hit last Sunday night. And he says that in my heart, I just knew that as they were trying to usher everybody back to the layaway department and back to those back restrooms. He goes, they were cramming everybody could back there for shelter. He goes, I just felt the Holy Spirit tell me, do not go back there. Do not go back there in that part of the building. And he goes, I just know it was the voice of God, Pastor. So, and I know Sean wants to know that if he's saying this, he means it. He said, I just felt like God's spirit told me, do not go back there. And, of course, that was one of the walls that gave away, and many people did not survive that loss right there. And many were severely hurt, and many lost their lives in that part of the building at Walmart. And Sean said, we stayed in the aisle, and even though we suffered some injuries, we're okay. And you know, that's the way it works. God will speak to us. Are we listening? Are we really listening? I heard call after call of people saying that God was speaking to them during a storm and gave them peace and gave them direction, what to do. And the places they went was exactly where they needed to be. The only part of the house that survived was that part they were in. The only part that survived was all the other closets were gone, but the closet they were in was the one that survived. I mean, you tell you, God speaks, we'll listen. He'll give us direction if we are listening. Now, you guys know me, those of you know me closely know that I know what I'm going to speak about 6 months in advance. I kind of know themes and I know series and I kind of have messages already worked out in my mind and my spirit where I thought God is leading us as a church. So this series was already in the works long before the storm hit. But this week, as the storm hit, the message I had prepared got changed. Tell me, you know, that's a good thing. God speaks to me this week, and I hear him so clearly. I probably had less time to prepare for this message than I have in a long, long, long time because we were so busy with disaster relief and helping people through. But it's in the middle of that disaster relief that God began to speak to me. It was like I had the Bible right in front of me. It's like I was sitting at my desk that many times the Holy Spirit would just speak to me. And even as I was working, he was giving me exactly what he wanted me to say today. And I'm going to speak a long time this morning, but I do believe that God has given me exactly what he wants to say through us this morning. So I want to talk to you about this thought, hearing God through the storm. Hearing God through the storm. As we talked about the very personal side of our Savior last week, we talked about how he's a very personal Savior, how he longs to be a friend to you and I. Not just the Savior, not just the Redeemer, but he wants to be the friend that sticks us closer than any brother. The friend who was willing to lay down his life for you and prove his love for you. Today we know that he is wanting to, he called Abraham a friend. He's wanting to call us a friend. It's not just the Redeemer. It's just not just the Savior, but it's the relationship he is wanting with our life. And how do we hear him speak through the storm? If God was speaking to us today, I pray, God, what would you say today? If you were here, what would you want us to know? What would you say to us in the middle of our fear, in the middle of the devastation? What would you say to us this morning? I believe that the Savior is saying this to us, first of all. Number one, I believe he's saying it's okay to cry. It's okay to cry. He's saying to us, it is okay to cry. It's okay to mourn. It's okay to weep when you lose friendships, when you lose family members, when you lose homes. I visited yesterday a home that we used to live at in the middle of Joplin, and my son, Preston, was born in that home. And as I went up to that home that was destroyed, I could see the video clips in my mind rolling of the home videos of my son playing his first Christmas in that home, and I was totally devastated. And I haven't lived in that home in 11 years, and yet the emotional attachment just overflooded me. And I know that you who are living in your homes, the emotional attachment just floods you, and you're in shock. Many of you still, and you don't know what to think. And you, should I cry? What do we just laugh at? I mean, what do we do? You know, somebody, we just have such a flood of emotions. Let me say, it's okay to cry. Does it mean I don't have faith in God? No, it's okay to cry. Matter of fact, let me share the story with you in John chapter 11, verses 32 through 36. Look what it says. It says, then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus was on his way to see Lazarus, and we know that on his way there that Lazarus died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. When Jesus seen the people weeping, his friends weeping, he groaned. It wasn't just a. You know what a groan is, don't you? How many of you ever had groan before? You just. I mean, when you groan, you're loud, okay? It's not just, it's something that you feel throughout your whole body. That's why you're groaning. It says that he was feeling it throughout his whole body. He groaned in the spirit, and he was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said, Lord, come and see. And this is one of the shortest verse in the Bible, these two words right here. Verse 35 of this passage says, Jesus wept. And many times we quote that verse as a kid because it's the easiest one to remember. Jesus wept. First verse I remember, Jesus wept. I could always quote it as a little kid because we knew it. Verse 35 of John chapter 11, Jesus wept. But I believe this part, it says Jesus wept, and then Jesus said, see how he loved him. It speaks as much volumes as any other chapter, any other verse in the Bible. We see Jesus weeping. Why was Jesus weeping? Because his friends were weeping. Because he is a friend, he sits closer than any brother. He is a friend to us. He's not just a savior and a redeemer. But he's a friend who cares about what you care about. And when you hurt, he hurts. And when you cry, he cries. So today, I believe that Jesus is crying with us today. I believe he cries over our city. I believe he cries with you and says, it's okay to cry. It's okay to weep. It's okay to let those emotions, raw emotions, come out. It's okay to let those things come out. The crying is okay. But when we cry out, the awesome thing is that we know this, that when we cry out, that he hears the cries of his people. It was Peter who cried out in the middle of his storm when he was walking on the water to Jesus. Remember, he said, Jesus, if that's you, bid me to come to you. And he got out of the boat and he walked across the water. And when the storms came, he got his eyes off of Jesus and he began to sink. And he cried out, Savior, Master. And Jesus heard his cry. It says he reached out and grabbed him by the hand and he pulled him back up, placing him back into the boat. See, it's all right to cry, because when we cry, our Savior not only weeps with us, but he pulls us back up. He hears us crying today. So when he hears you crying, I want you to imagine as you cry out to him, he's saying, it's okay. It's okay. I'm going to pull you back up. I'm pulling you back into the boat of shelter. I'm pulling you back into a place of comfort. Today, if you'll let him, he's here to wrap his loving arms around you. If you'll let him today, he'll wrap his arms of comfort around you today. He'll hold you when you cry. He'll wipe away every tear from your eye. It's okay to cry today. It's all right to cry. The second thing I believe that he wants us to know, it's okay not to understand. It's okay not to understand. It's okay not to have answers. I like the way Job said it in verse 15 of chapter 13. Job, after he lost everything, lost all of his family, lost all of his homes, stricken with leprosy. Everybody had left him. Look what Job said to God. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. But look what he says. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. What's that mean? That means, God, even though I've lost everything, I'm still going to trust you. But man, there's a lot of things I want to talk to you about. There's a lot of things I want to argue with you about. There's a lot of things I just don't understand. And Job couldn't comprehend that. We cannot comprehend what is going on. It's okay not to. It's all right. When you're dealing with people and you have friends who have lost everything, you don't have to have the answers, okay? Just be there listening to them. Just be a shoulder for them to cry on. Just have an open ear for them to tell their story. Those who barely survive and those who went through the heart of a tornado and lost it all and those who still survive. And they, just be there. You don't have answers. Don't try to be something you're not. Don't try to say, well, this must have been God's. No, don't try to do that. You're not that smart and neither am I. There's only one person. That's God who has an ultimate plan and we don't understand it. But I know this. He will hold you through this process. He will guide you through this process. So there's two things you need to know about this statement. It's okay not to understand. As long as we do it with our hearts, God, even though I will trust you. God, I don't understand why our city went through this. But God, even so, we're going to trust this. You know, I don't know why your house was lost. Don't know. But even so, you're going to trust us. He said that Neil told me he came over just about an hour after he lost his home. I met him here at the church. He said, it was funny, as we were standing out there, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, it's just a home. It's just a home. We're okay. And in his shocked state, even though they were pretty much in shock as they got here, I could still see the peace of God. It was okay. And he was saying, you know what? We're just trusting in the Lord. We don't understand it, have no reason to understand why we went through what we did, but we're trusting in God that God's going to work it out. That's the right attitude as we go through this. We don't have to understand, but yet we still say, God, even so, I'm still going to put my trust in you. You're still going to work things out. It's okay to ask why. God, he's big enough. He can handle it. He can handle your why questions. He can handle you upset. He can handle us mourning. He can handle us crying. I believe the third thing that he wants to say to us today, remind us that we already know, our security is not in things. Our security, continually reminding us in America, and especially here in this community today, we're being reminded of it. Our security is not found in things. Our security is found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only way we find security. Psalms 20, verse 7 says, some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Our trust is in God. Our trust is not in things. And when we go through tragedies like this, we're so quickly reminded of how much these things are gone. How much the things that we think are important in life are gone just like that. And the bottom line is that what's really important is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what's going to sustain. Because of all the hundreds of funerals that are going to be going on, memorial services going on, there's not one U-Haul trailer hauling their things with them. If they had anything left, it's not there. Because the one thing that they are going to take with them is their soul and what they're doing for eternity. What are you doing for eternity? What is our priorities? What are we doing that's going to make an eternal investment? First of all, is my soul ready? Is my heart ready to meet my Savior? And secondly, what am I doing to make sure others are doing the same thing? What am I doing? So our priorities shift now. We realize that these things are not important. It's about helping people find a relationship with the Savior. Our security is not found in them. Psalm 62, 1 through 2 says this, truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. See, when I realize that those things do not change, he will always be my rock and my fortress. Even though I may lose my physical fortress here on earth, I have a heavenly fortress that will shelter me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me. Even when I lose my home, even when I lose people close to me, even when all my things are gone, surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. He is my rock. He is my fortress. My security is not in things. My security will always be in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the last thing today, I believe he wants us to know, our God specializes in resurrecting. Our God specializes in resurrecting. You say, how do you know that? Because on the third day, our Father rose from the dead with the keys of death in the grave. He kept his word. I love the rest of the story. We started in the first verse when Jesus wept in John 11, verses 38 through 40. It says, then Jesus again, groaning himself as he was weeping over his friend and those who were grieving the loss of his friend. It says, Jesus himself came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laying against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he's been dead for 4 days. I think that many of us can identify with that, can't we? As you drive around in the neighborhoods after about 4 days, you can smell a stench in the air of destruction. You can smell destruction. You can smell things in the air. And to look at it when you're out there walking around, the daylight's coming up and the weather's passing by and the storms pass, we look at all the destruction. It's very easy to sense fear. It can be very easy to sense destruction everywhere. Look what Jesus said. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? I believe, I hear the directing of the Holy Spirit today speaking that to you, Destiny, today, and over our community. If you will not just believe, even though you see destruction, even though you smell fear, even though you smell destruction everywhere, if we will not just believe, we will see the glory of God revealed in this community like never before, because our God specializes in resurrecting things. Our God is the resurrection specialist. The God, we have a personal relationship. He loves to resurrect our lives, to resurrect what we're going through. The second part of this in verse 41, look what it says. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you have sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried out. There's that word cried again. This time it's Jesus crying out. He cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, with his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. See, I believe that as we cry out over our community, I believe as we weep over our community, as we serve our community, as we see God's love poured out over our community, there comes a time that it's already happened in the spirit, that Jesus has already cried out to the Father. He says, Father, loose Joplin. Raise Joplin once again. And he is already speaking that out, and we don't even know it. But in the spirit realm, things are already happening for the future. Things are already happening. God has already got a plan for the resurrection of Joplin. God has already got a plan for resurrecting our homes and our lives. He's already got a plan for Destiny Church to be a part of what God wants to do in this community and all the other churches that are coming together. He's got a plan. He's got a plan. And he will be glorified through the midst of our trouble, through the midst of our disaster. When things seem like they've been dead a long time, when things seem like they get worse before they get better, you just know this one thing, that our God, when all hope is lost, when you've been dead for 4 days, when you've been dead for 6 months, when you've been dead for 18 months, and people have given up hope and people are wanting to leave town and we think, what's going to happen? Our God has already spoke life to our community. Our God is already hearing the cries of his people. And our God is speaking out to Joplin, that Joplin will rise again. This four-state area, it will rise again. And he's going to resurrect the dead thing. He's going to resurrect the things that you've lost, the dreams, the possessions, your priorities. He's going to make sure the things that were out of whack are back into the right priorities. He's going to make sure things that you've neglected, relationships, people have walked in bitterness, they're going to forgive. People who have been restrained from their family is going to mend those broken relationships. People who have been out of church are going to come back and find a Savior. People who said, I don't want anything to do with God are crying out to him now. And God will be glorified in the midst of our trouble. God will resurrect again a city. God will resurrect a church. God will resurrect that thing which was dead. He will breathe life into once again. He's going to breathe life into you today. He's going to bring hope to you today. He will breathe. He will breathe through the power of his Holy Spirit. He takes things that are dirt and he breathes and man is formed. He breathes life into us today. And he will. He will. He will. Today, He is here. Remain standing where you're at this morning. I want you, as you stand there today, I want you just to bow your heads where you're at quickly this morning. As we're talking about getting things right with Jesus Christ, if you're here today, nobody's looking around but me, and I will not embarrass you in any way at all, but I want to make sure you have a chance. If you're here today and say, Pastor, today I need to get right with Jesus Christ. Today I need to accept His love and forgiveness. Today I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm ready. Today is my day. I'm ready to make things right with Him. Nobody's looking around but me, and I will not embarrass you at all, but I want to give you a chance to make that decision. Can you just raise your hand? Say, Pastor, I'm ready. Thank you. Pastor, I'm ready to thank you. Pastor, I'm ready today to make that decision to follow after Jesus Christ. If you want to make that decision today and you haven't raised your hand yet, raise it right now where I can see it. Wave it high. Let me see. Thank you. Anybody else you want to join us today? Say, I'm ready today, Pastor, to make a decision to follow after Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? We're not rushing you through this. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart today and you're ready to make a life-changing decision, it says, I'm ready to follow after Jesus. I'm ready, Pastor. Anybody else here today? You haven't raised your hands. One more time, raise it high where I can see it and say, I'm ready. We're going to say this prayer together, and then we're going to do something else. But first of all, we're all going to say this prayer with you, especially those who raised your hands. Let's say this prayer. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you everything I am. I give to you today. I accept your forgiveness. I accept your grace. I accept your love. I believe you are the Messiah. And I will live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, welcome to the family of God. We welcome you this morning. Now, if you prayed that prayer today, it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning of a new journey with you, a new journey on a relationship, and you need a church home, people who will help disciple you, people who will help love you and nurture you and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Before you leave today, if you raised your hand, stop by our information desk to my left back here. We got a free Bible and some other material that tells you what to do next in your relationship with Jesus Christ and how to get started. Now, today, I believe that there's power. We like to do this, so I'm going to invite you. You know I'm going to do it today. We love to worship together, and I believe today, how many know our God came to our rescue, didn't He? Wow. I'm going to invite you. I want you to come around to the front. Get as close as you can get. We're going to close out with this song today. I like the worship. It brings so much healing and strength to each other when we worship together. So I'm going to invite you today, if you feel that you would like to worship with us, come to the front, and we're going to spread out. I'm at this. Spread out, step up close, guys. Make sure you're all the way to the front. We'll pan out as close as we can get everybody in. Yeah. Make sure you guys scoot out there. Come on in the middle, yeah. You scoot around there some. There you go. Just get as close as you can. If you have to, you can come over to my right. Also get to my left. Go. We know today that I heard story after story after story of people saying, God came to my rescue. God was God who came to my rescue. Shelly, you and Chad on the phone together through the heart of the storm. Chad talking. Shelly had the whole Atwoods on the floor praying for her son as she talked on the phone as he was in the heart of the storm. Him and his wife drug across out of their home, completely sucked out of their home, drug across the street. And when they came together and came back and looked at their home, exactly where they were sitting in the bathtub, a car had been flipped up and landed exactly where they were taking shelter. I tell you, God comes to our refuge and He hears our prayers. Story after story of God's miracles and grace coming out of this thing. Even though we don't understand, we know that God still hears the cries of His people. And He still comes to the rescue of His people today. So we're going to sing this song about Him coming to our rescue. And I want you to lift your voices. I want you to lift your hearts and say, God, we thank you today, God, that you come to the rescue of your people.
Falling on my knees in worship, giving all I am. gonna be where you are, oh Lord. And I call, you answer, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are.
Can you just please just grab the hand of the person next to you?
Jesus.
Oh. Grab the hand of the person next to you today. We need each other. We need each other. Let's just take time. Let's just pray for the people next to us. Can we do that? Let's pray one for another this morning, Father. We thank you, God, for the opportunity to stand next to our friends, our family today, God. We pray for them today, God. We pray on their behalf, Lord. The person whose hand we hold to our right now, Father, we just pray, that God, that you would strengthen them, God, in their mind, their body, their spirit. That God, whatever they're going through today in their mind, Lord, whatever they're facing this week today, that God, you would be the God of real to them today, God. They would feel you real and deep in their heart, Lord. May they feel the prayers of a friend, of a brother, of a sister, Lord, and God today, praying, lifting them up, God. Lord, we're one family, God. We have one Father today, Lord. We lift each other up, God. We carry each other's burdens, Lord, and we pray one for another. Now pray for the person on the left side whose hands you now hold now. Father, we pray for them as well, God. That you are lifting them up, God, speaking into their life today, strength. You're speaking hope. You're casting aside all fear. And God, you're allowing the God of resurrection to start something great in their life right now, God. We thank you, God, that you come to our rescue. And God, as we lift you up, and Lord, we speak out your name. And Lord, we want to be where you are. That God, you are, your love is being lifted up, God. Your joy is being given out, God. Your strength is being given out, Lord, as we love one another. God, as we carry each other's burdens today, God, we pray for our neighbor, God. We pray for them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, let's lift our hands up together as you hold your hands. Let's lift them up together. Father, we thank you. One more time, as we praise you, Father. We thank you, God, that you are lifting up this community, God. We pray to God you be with those families that are hurting today. And God, we lift up to you as God of this city. You are God of this city, God, and we lift you up today. Magnifying your name, speaking your name. Speaking your peace over our community once again, God. We thank you, God, that you're going to be high and exalted. We thank you, God, that as we run weak, that God, you are strong. Those who are weak, Lord, you come alongside them and you give strength to. You nurture. And when we feel like we can't go another step, we feel like we can't go another mile, that God, you carry us. And God, you strengthen us, God. And you're going to give us strength. You're going to give us peace that passes all understanding. You're going to give us strength in the days that we need it. And we feel like we don't have it. But God, you're going to pour out supernatural strength, God, to those who are ministering, to those who are loving, to those who are rebuilding, to those who are counseling, to those who are feeding, to those who are volunteering, to those who are nurturing, to those who are teaching, or to those who are healing. God, you're going to give supernatural strength to those who are housing, to those who are feeding them, Father. Supernatural strength, God, in the name of Jesus. We give you praise. Come on. One more time. Just give God a hand clap of praise. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Today, make sure before you leave, if you want to volunteer, just take time. Maybe, I'm sure there'll be a line over there, but take time to go back over to the table and sign up. Be watching for the website. This one coming out today. We'll have it linked to it on our website, mydestinychurch.com. You can fill out a volunteer form there as well. Find out more information. You can get the hotline number that we have set up for disaster relief. If you lost your home or you lost everything that you had, make sure you come and talk to us. If you haven't talked to us already, if you haven't talked to me or one of the staff members, let us know. We want to help you, okay? And sometimes we think, well, somebody else needs more help than I do. No, we all need help and we all need each other, okay? So please let us know how to minister to you and to pray for you. Come and let somebody know so we can be sure to minister to you as well if some reason we have missed you, okay? So make sure you let us know. Find 3 or 4 people around you. Give a big hug. I know we don't like the hugs sometimes, but let's hug just today. Can we hug? We're grateful to see each other as family. Let's give them a hug, or if you want to, give them a high five and tell us, man, I'm glad to see you today. God bless you today.